The Morning Sickness Relapse with intern Jeremy.
So how's it going, Johnny?
Oh, I just got a big long text.
Yeah, of course you did. What a surprise. It's an interesting one.
God. Microwave broke in my rental property.
As your renters are calling, and oh, that's what it's your buddy though that's living in it, right?
But still,
did you tell him
they're gonna buy it?
No, did you tell him? Sounds like a personal problem.
I'm a deadbeat. I'm one of those slumlords. Like, so, Richard, just microwave on the side. Go DoorDash.
Yeah. What?
But no, I gotta fix that. Damn it.
Oh boy.
He'll hang it though. That'll be the good side.
So you just gotta go pick it up from the old Home Depot. You're gonna go top of the line.
I'll put in a
$30 Walmart microwave.
It all matches the oven, and so it's got to be the new version of that.
Oh, no. Does that mean you have to replace the stove and the fridge to match it? Let me text him right now.
Order a new microwave that replaces it. How should I say that? The new version of that.
Model.
It matches. I'll pay you through Apple. Sorry, Jeremy. Just came up. Go.
It's fine. Hey, listen.
You
got to get your stuff done.
I know.
Happy Valentine's Day, Johnny.
And to you, Jeremy.
And it's your anniversary today?
Well, it was yesterday. So Valentine's Day anniversary is hacky.
Oh, so it's not hacky to do the day before?
To ruin Valentine's Day. It was okay. All by design. I proposed on a Thursday. We were married that Saturday.
Oh, sweet. Look at you go.
I was like, I don't want to get married. And then my tax guy told me.
You do?
What an unbelievable break it was. And he showed me some numbers, and I'm like, whoa. I need to get married. So it was a lot of financial gain, because we were already playing married. I don't really see the difference.
Yeah, she was living with you and everything, right? I mean,
and after a certain amount of time, she has all the rights of a married lady anyway, as far as like stealing my stuff.
7 years, right?
Something like that. We have... Arizona's got different funny laws, but she could have fought it and made it even harder. Things go south. It's just like being married. But the tax breaks are great.
If you don't have stuff, you don't have to worry about stuff getting split down the middle.
Your plan is awesome, to have absolutely nothing. Yeah. And then when there's a divorce, who cares?
Yeah, what is she going to milk out of this?
You can't split
nothing.
A tent in half.
Nope. Sorry. So, that's why I keep the bar low. Expectations low.
Yeah, and then the divorce fees, reasonable.
Yeah, I saw a billboard the other day, $200 out the door.
That's what I've been saying the whole time. Those prices are unbeatable.
They're making it
you
almost.
You see a divorce $200 sign and think to yourself, I don't care that I'm happy. I'm not getting a better deal than this. That's like a sign that says $200 Ferrari.
Yeah, it's
like,
too
man,
good of a deal.
I don't even want one, but that's
it's
a good
It's just
price.
Too good of a deal to pass up.
Yeah.
Such a savings compared to
the investment
years past.
Is so worth it. You can get out of a divorce for $200. I want to see how those guys pull that off.
We'd kill her. $200 will kill your wife.
Okay.
Okay.
I get to save half?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Do I get to keep the house? And you get all that, sympathy pussy when people find out you're a widower.
Yeah. Oh, see? Those are good lawyers. You think Lerner and Rowe
do that? Smiles on our faces right now. I think it's probably a Lerner and Rowe deal.
Yeah, they seem like that.
They know people.
They're good guys. They just want to help people.
They're
out.
Not doing the killing.
No. Oh, listen.
They put you in touch with the right people.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not getting his hands dirty. Come on.
This operation is definitely a third party.
Office talent shows.
Oh.
You sounded like you were a big fan of it earlier. I got one
I
even
did?
Better for you.
Oh, no.
A church talent show.
No.
So the church I run audio for, they're having a talent show this Sunday.
With the adults?
Yeah. The average age of the churchgoer at this church is about 78 years old.
Oh, that's almost children again.
Oh, so because they've regressed
back.
Yeah,
they go back. I guess when old people have nothing to do, they just want to be... I'll give it to you, but when you're a working age adult and your work puts on a talent show, you need to leave. Oh,
you. If Tripp came in here and was like, Hubbard, Phoenix talent show, we're just
no,
you know, we're gonna go to Pub Rock, got the full stage, we're gonna do it.
Why?
Morale, boost morale.
What's wrong with morale? There's a bigger problem. If we need to see the sales staff sing and dance and then recreate like old Jerry Lewis scenes from movies, what's going on at work? And how is this fixing that?
Yeah, Jill and Lisa get up there and do Who's on First. Yeah,
it's like a sadness diet. You know, you're miserable and sad. So you go on a happy diet for a little while, and then your behavior pattern goes right back. It's a yo-yo. You're basically trying to become bipolar. I'm miserable at work. We have a talent show Thursday. I'm miserable at work again.
Friday's bad.
Yeah, and then everybody's back. It doesn't fix anything.
Don't you think but it gives you an opportunity to talk bad about coworkers, different coworkers
anyway.
Behind their backs, because now you're like, wow, that guy had the balls to get up and they're singing, he's horrible.
What do I need a talent show to hate my coworkers for?
That's true. Just to give you a little extra juice, I guess.
Yes, I really don't need the motivation.
No, because
I cannot like you without knowing you're good at things.
That does come naturally to you to dislike. Just humans in general.
But to just look around and go, this pinhead. And assume that if there were a work talent show, he'd be first in line.
Yeah.
I want to be with the people who are rolling their eyes at it and then are forced to do something.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
The worst is when I worked in IT, the Cube Farm I worked at, they had a Christmas, holiday party.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that.
And they were like, somebody was like, she's like, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I don't celebrate.
Can't do it.
I know it's not a Christmas party, but you guys got a Christmas tree up. I'm giving out gifts. I don't do that. Can I just, because basically what we did was we cut the Friday before Christmas early, and then the rest of last 2 hours or whatever, they would give out gifts or whatever, but they were like, oh, okay, well, then you could just go right back to work. And she's like, well, what, can I just go home? They're like, well, no.
It's
like, well, they're getting paid to not work. And it's like,
it's a work
function. She's like, I'm being discriminated against. And they're like, well, listen, you know, you dirty non-Jesus knower,
Jehovah's Witness. Time to get back in the hole.
Yeah.
Have fun or work.
I don't care. Listen, I'm not Christian. I don't believe in God, but I love holiday parties, and I'm going
to
take time off work if I can.
But they have their own belief that if you celebrate stuff, it's a humility thing, and then Jehovah gets angry. And he's witnessing this. He's like a witness. He's on the stand.
So to them, is Jehovah above Jesus?
I think it's the same dude.
Oh, he's just...
He's Jehovah, witness. Like they take the whole
Jehovah?
Humility thing seriously. The Jews do too. That's what yarmulkes are for. You're not supposed to show the top of your head to God. So they cover it. It's always supposed to be covered. I don't know. I don't understand.
The only reason
any.
Why I would do that is because I got a bald spot going and I'm like, it's kind of embarrassing.
And they do that to cover...
Did you ever, back in the day when your hair started going,
thought maybe being a Hasidic Jew would have been a great idea, could cover that up. I didn't lose the patch back there. Mine would have been up front. I'd have looked like I had a flying saucer on my face.
Then you could get the cool, curly hair.
The Payax. Yeah.
You know a lot about it. I
studied it all. I know them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all interesting. The Jewish faith is always amazing to me in Arizona because they have to wear wool.
Yeah, man.
They can't wear blended anything.
Because there's that synagogue downtown where you just see them walking and you're like, dude, you got to be...
Saturday, 114 degrees, wool suits, big wool hat. I'm like, they have to wear pure clothes. And it's like, I got to tip my cap to you.
They can't have like a man-made...
Can't do a poly-cotton blend.
Oh. It's like when George got the Yankees to wear the all-cotton uniforms. It's breathable.
They look terrible. And
then
up.
Well, they wore them the next game and they shrunk them. He's like, he just split his pants.
Ah, the Seinfeld.
There's a Jehovah's Witness church right by my house, and it's very plain. It looks like like a business. Like,
they're not flashy.
No.
It's not a flashy bunch.
So they're very much like, suffer now, and you get the reward later type of deal?
I don't think they're suffering so much.
I don't think
they're
just kind of
like Christmas and birthdays, a little bit self-congratulatory.
All the fun stuff.
Let's just skip that. Yeah, we had a kid on my street in California when I lived there as a little kid. We had a birthday party, and his parents got mad at us for asking him to go because they just assumed we knew. We didn't know. And so we're like, and then as kids, I didn't get it. So I'm like, how come he can't come over? Because he was like the kid I liked the most. And then shortly after, I discriminated against him because I found out he had some crazy religious beliefs.
It's when Dan was like, uh-uh.
Yeah, we also had a kid from Pakistan on our street.
Uh-oh.
And he had a birthday party. And we all left because their house smelled like the worst soup you've ever eaten in your life for his birthday party. They cooked some traditional thing.
It was like some
and that
curry
house
or something?
Stunk so bad, we all left.
Everybody left.
It was like squid and feet and hair and toast.
Yeah.
I think about it. I can still picture his mom's green Middle Eastern, like, it was a weird outfit.
Like
and
a smock?
Yeah, kind of, and she stunk. When she walked by, all the soup steam had touched her outfit. And her.
I thought you meant like she just didn't
So even outside, she'd walk by and go, oh, there's that octopus hair bread soup.
I had a kid that in Chicago that lived across the street from me. He was Jehovah's Witness when I was really young, and I didn't know. And I remember, like, Christmas, I went later in the day, and I was like, hey, man, you know, so what'd you get? And I got a PlayStation. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah. I don't celebrate Christmas. And I remember just being like, that's weird. And
that's
I just went
stupid.
Home.
Like, you think you're missing out, son. Well, I always wonder what those people, like, I just thought about him, that little guy whose house stunk. I wonder what he thought my house smelled like.
He probably thought it stunk too,
like,
huh?
Like Lay's potato chips and mayonnaise smell just awful to him.
Those white people, they smell like,
white
like
people
plain,
house.
Unspiced food.
Yeah. Their houses smell like clean carpets. It makes me sick.
Just smells like a boiled chicken breast, no seasoning.
Right. I wonder what our houses smell like to them. Have to be awful. Just perfumes and flowers and.
But even then, like if you go away for more than like a week and you come home, then you notice
what
your house
smells
like.
Like.
You're like, oh, that's because you just get used to it. You know,
God,
you don't.
I always worry about that.
That it smells.
That my house stinks.
Yeah, and you just don't know it.
Nobody tells me. I think it's okay. Sometimes it smells like dogs, but not like in a kennel way, but.
But just like having, you got like 15 animals running around, what do you expect?
But it doesn't stink, it just smells like them.
It just smells like dogs live there, but it's not like, wow, your house smells.
Yeah, that's true, because you go away for a couple of days. Nobody ever comes in and goes, which I did to that kid's house. What is that? My mom is cooking something. Oh, God.
You did it to Mark when you dry docked his toilets over
there. That was pretty great.
He walked in and he had that look
on his face.
The whole
house stunk.
Did you turn the heat on and crank? See,
no, it was summertime. You didn't have to.
Oh, so it's just you turn the air off.
Filled every toilet with mastiff poop. Cleaned his whole backyard, every toilet in the house, and I didn't flush it. And they came home hours later eating burritos. The best part of that story is they all were so hungry that they pulled over and got to-go burritos before they got home, and they were chowing down on them on the walk up to the door. And the door opened, and everybody had burritos in their mouth, and their house stunk.
It's gotta be a great diet plan, though. There's no way. Did he finish? Did he? Did you ask?
Mark
him?
Finished.
He finished it, didn't
Mark
he? Okay, well, he's an animal.
The rest
I expect
of them
that.
Threw it on the ground, all angry.
And then Wendy Williams, you've talked about in the past how you're a big Wendy Williams fan. She's in some hot water.
No gays can wear pants like her.
Yeah, she said if you don't menstruate every 28 days, then you can't wear high heels, sister.
Is that what she said?
Yeah. So the quote is, "I don't care if you're gay. You don't get a menstruation every 28 days. You can do a lot that we do, but I get offended by the idea we go through something you will never go through, and you get to dress like us. Stop wearing our skirts and heels," Williams stated. "Just saying, girls, don't we have anything for ourselves anymore?"
You have everything. I kind of agree, though, that if you're... My Wendy Williams moment here is, if you're gay, have your own thing. It's my complaint about women always trying to be like do what men do. You got a great. Why can't we play in your golf tournament? Why can't we be in them? Because we don't want you here.
Yeah. Why would you
go
want
build your
to
own.
Be there?
Right. Yeah. Go build your own thing. No, we want in your thing. So they would infiltrate our thing, and then they start dressing like dudes to prove their. And then they're like in business. They want power suits or men's suits, and I'm like, you're basically admitting we're the power.
Yeah.
So as a gay dressing like a woman, is kind of taking the woman thing to have your own thing as gay.
Yeah.
Like you can have high heels. But not women's clothes.
Yeah, design something.
Have gay clothes.
You got to ask your gay
individuality,
neighbors about this,
independence.
How they feel.
Yeah.
How they feel. Do you think it's cultural appropriation? That's a big hot topic nowadays.
It is kind of. You're stealing women. I think she's right. If you don't menstruate, you can't pretend to be a woman.
Okay, but.
I know.
Now, what about the transgender community?
What if you make it look like,
what if you change down there that, and you feel you were born a woman?
Yeah.
So is it cultural appropriation if you truly feel like I was a woman born in a man's body?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I guess that you can dress like a woman. But if you're just gay and you're dressing up in high heels, Wendy Williams has a little bit of a point. Although, who cares?
Who cares?
That's the bigger thing. It's like, why does Wendy Williams want, like, you know why? It's because Wendy Williams doesn't look half as good as these gay guys.
No, she
doesn't. In these heels, because she's bigger than most men.
Now, is she culturally appropriating Barbie culture by being so plastic?
My God, she's turning into one. But Barbie would be offended by that.
Not now. There's a wheelchair Barbie.
I know.
There's chubby Barbie.
But there's not too much plastic surgery Barbie.
that's the next. You have to have one of everybody, John. Everybody has to be included. Everybody has to be represented.
So is there cultural appropriation Barbie?
Now, there should be because people do that.
There should be because people culturally appropriate. So we have to represent everyone.
Who is that white lady that said she was black and was running
Rachel
the NAACP?
Dozatel.
Dozatel, yeah. Is there a white Barbie pretending to be black Barbie?
That'd be great. And is there a racist white Barbie pretending to be blackface Barbie?
Oh, with a MAGA
Everyone
hat?
Has to be represented. Yeah. MAGA hat and like a...
Donald Trump Barbie. You need one of those.
Got to have that. Donald Trump Ken.
Yeah.
God, there's a bunch of opportunities here. God, I'm really struggling with this whole Wendy Williams thing.
You never thought Wendy Williams would make you think so much, huh?
No, she's really got me ticking. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that whole thing. It's like, if you don't look as good as a gay guy in heels and you're mad about that, you can't start telling gay guys they can't do it.
Because that's what she's saying.
Because that's essentially what she's saying is, I'm not as hot as you. You're wearing it better than me.
She was coming into the studio. She saw someone walking down the street or something and thought, that guy's legs look a hell of a lot better in those heels than mine.
It's true. Now, my gay neighbors dressed up this weekend.
Heels?
No. In clearly gay guy clothes. But it was men's clothes. Super flamboyant, nice stuff.
Like nice, tailored,
like
colored suits.
Troy looked amazing. Michael, they both looked great. But Troy had these pants on that looked like 70s curtains. But they looked great on him. I'm like, I could never pull this off. And he goes, oh, sure you could. And I'm like, no.
No.
You don't understand. These are clothes for gay guys. And then one of them went up in this flowery suit and he goes, I'm sorry, I wore my straight suit today. And I'm like, you guys know what a gay suit is. This is good. You're differentiating all the stuff.
And they joke about themselves and stuff.
Oh, they're a funny group.
It really is the vocal minority in most, right?
It's the most desperately sad white people are the ones who protect all the minorities because they're guilty.
Yeah, white guilt.
They feel weird, so they're like, I just rather not hear any of it. And all of it's perfect and rosy and flowery, and the gay people are hilarious. So, but yeah, their clothes are definitely, neither of them wore heels. I don't think they'd look good in heels. Michael and Troy wouldn't. Troy, maybe. He's tall.
If they don't listen to the podcast, then hopefully you'll go over there and say, we're having a discussion. I need to see which one of you looks good.
I already know which one would look better.
Okay.
But I think it would piss off the other one that I'd say so. Like Troy would look much better in heels, and then Michael would get all, I see.
So you could get those two going back and forth.
Yeah.
In the gay community, it's a one-upsman
when
with
it comes
each other,
to fashion,
right?
Yeah, they kind of have that whole, they're competitive men.
Like, because you were saying, you couldn't have a discussion with Megan about how I'm going to go bang that hot chick over there.
Never.
And I could do it better than you. And she'd be like, I'll do it.
We could look at a waitress, say, in a restaurant, right? Yeah. And both of us go, she's very pretty. And I'm like, I think I can nail that in a heartbeat. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, you think so? Go ahead and give it a try. Like, she'd be excited about it. Gay guys get excited. But like, Megan would be like, quit talking about banging the waitress. If you want to bang her so bad, I'll just leave.
Yeah, exactly.
You get into a fight with your wife. I sit with Troy and Michael, my neighbors, and they'll talk about a guy who's hot and who the hot guy wants more, Troy or Michael. And then they start going back and forth on which one of them's going to bone the guy when he comes over. And I'm like, this is a dream come true. Like, this is what every guy wants to do, have this conversation with his wife about the hot girl coming into their, and we'll both bone them together.
Yeah, and who's going to do the better job?
God, you guys are going to have a three-way with the hot twink. I can't even look at a girl's boobs without like, I'm sorry.
Well, and you have to put it a very, like you said, she's very pretty.
Yeah.
You got to put it, she's very beautiful.
You have to delicately dance.
If you're like, damn, she's hot.
No, I want
to
bang. Like you say with your friends.
You get the side eye real quick.
I would foot her so hard. Like you can say that to your friends, but your wife, you're like, wow, I saw you looking at her. She's cute, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But what your brain's going is, man, I want to put a leg in her.
Full leg.
Full fuck up to the knee.
Jeez. Mm. Is that what your neighbors say to each other? They want to
pull, so.
Pull up to
that's
a full
what
knee?
I hear. They want to knee dudes.
That's that's I mean, I guess it's a skill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
but going back to it, I like women, like the WNBA girl that got mad at Marcus Morris went on TV in a man's suit to talk about how feminine women are. And I'm like, I'm struggling. And then so like, I kind of see Wendy Williams' point though. It's like, quit wearing my clothes to tell everybody you're a gay man. I don't know. I'll never understand it. As a straight white male, I'm behind the eight ball in all these topics, and even trying to discuss it makes me feel like I'm going to get fired.
Yeah.
So I just quit. I quit. Do whatever you want. Don't touch me. That's my rule for everybody.
That's just your new thing?
Anybody can do whatever they want in the world. I don't care anymore. I'm so liberal socially, it's disgusting. Don't touch me. That's all I ask. Don't touch
me. And I honestly think that's how most Americans are. They don't care what people do.
Just leave me alone.
Don't involve me.
You can talk about it with me, but don't tell me that I'm wrong if I'm like, I kind of find that gross.
And like you've said, it's the vocal minority on the left and the right that are the loudest. So it sounds like that's how the whole country thinks.
Right.
And I don't think that's the case.
Think about the acceptable sexual practices of heterosexuals and how if you went on and said, here's what we like to do to a neighbor, they'd be like, oh, I kind of find that gross. Like, oh, okay, but that's what we do and it's normal. We already know the one thing that most gay couples do, and some people think it's gross. It doesn't mean I hate you. I just think that thing you do to that guy's butt is gross. I think guy butts are gross. Makes me kind of sick. My gay neighbors were talking to me about one of them had tried to have sex with a girl to cover, and he literally got nauseated by it. I was sickened by it. And like, that's how I feel about a man's butthole.
And I think that's the proof that people, you're born.
Well, again, like Steve Trevino said this week, look, proof that it's not a choice is I would be making that choice to have double income with a man in my life.
Yeah.
I would choose to be gay. Dudes are much easier to deal with.
Yeah.
But it's so gross to me, I can't. The act of being gay. Gay people are great. Yeah. The act of gay, I can't do.
Yeah.
That for my
But there's all the other things you feel the same way about.
Stuff I do to my wife makes gay guys sick.
Yeah.
Trust
you're not
me.
Saying that they can't do that. You're just saying I choose not.
No, do whatever you want.
It's not my thing.
That makes me sick. It's like liking rutabaga. Ugh, gross. But it doesn't make me hate you as a person.
Yeah.
Beets? I might hate you as a person if you're too into beets. But if
what
you're
about
eating
coconut,
if you're that's a deal breaker. We're not friends. But if you're piling down beets in front of me, I'm not going to go. I can't believe this is something you do. And
my God's
beets.
Not letting you into my
I
heaven.
I hate beets, and you love beets. It's like good. That guy likes beets. I don't. Can we still be friends? Sure.
Yeah.
Same with butt sex. You like to put your wiener in a man's butt. Great. Good on you.
Yeah.
Don't put it in mine. Don't force feed me beets.
Yeah.
That's called rape. There's a law against that. Eating beets against your will is rape. I'd rather be raped.
Than eat
if
beets?
Somebody put me in a room in a Saw scenario, the movie Saw.
Yeah.
Would you like to play a game? Here's a bowl of beets. Finish the bowl of beets or be raped. Then your freedom will be granted.
All right. I'll wait for the rape. Because I am not eating a bowl of beets.
What is it? Do beets even have a flavor?
Oh, dirt and purple.
Are you talking about like just a regular or like pickled beets? You don't like pickled beets either, huh?
You're going to make me throw up on the mic.
It's a very odd thing to... I've never heard anybody tell me like, I hate beets.
Everyone hates beets.
I don't hate them.
You like beets?
I don't think I like them, but I don't think I don't... It's not a disgust. I do hate coconut, though.
First story I ever have with beets is when I was a kid, whatever you put on your plate, you ate.
Oh, I hate that
And my
rule.
Dad had that rule because he grew up kind of... So it was this thing where you put it on the plate, you eat it. And beets were pretty.
Yeah.
And the bowl went by. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this before. And I put these beautiful purple syrupy looking...
Yeah.
Oh, those look good. I'm like, what are they? My mom's like, they're like potatoes. They're nothing
no,
like
they're not.
Potatoes. And I took
potato.
A smell. I'm not eating that. And so I ate around it. My dad's like, you finish that plate. And I'm like, I don't think I like those. You put it on your plate. You finish it. This is a lesson. And he sat and waited with me. And I quivered like as I put the little beet in my mouth. And as I started to chew it, I'm like, nope. All over the table and the plates. And my mom's like, see, Dan, that's what you get. The kid doesn't want them.
Oh.
I couldn't do it. I threw
it
all over the table.
I was kind of hoping Dan would be like, you're eating that too.
No, I probably would have. He probably got mad at me. But beets made me throw up. I associate that flavor and that texture to the worst day ever at the dinner table. Oh, beets.
Brady's a clean plater guy, too, but it's like a badge of honor for him, right?
Well, Brady grew up, my opinion about how America changed was when we got rich, fat, and happy in the late 50s and 60s, we developed the clean plater clubs.
Yeah.
We had plenty of food, or before... You know, in the 40s, we rationed food during the war. It wasn't like this. Only the really super elite people had, like, everything. And you had to get your food in different ways, and you had to store it differently, and it didn't last forever. We didn't have all these preservatives and stuff. So you had to – eating your food was important.
Yeah.
In the 50s and 60s, we had gluttonous amounts of food, and you finished that plate. It was the same mentality as before. But then they started to encourage young kids like Brady. And if you look at America, it's all about Brady's age. They said, if you finish that plate, you get more.
You get dessert.
And then food became a reward system. So it's like, if you do this, I'll buy you an ice cream. If you do this, you get candy. So then it became this whole weird thing, and now everybody's fat and thinks food is a prize instead of a necessity.
That's when you're trying to lose weight, that's the toughest part. So probably about 10 years ago, after I tore my ACL playing baseball.
Yeah.
Went into a deep depression because I was getting scholarship offers for Ball State, like Division II schools, but still. So I blew my knee out, knew that was over. So I got super depressed, and I just stayed home, ate and play video games.
Yeah.
I put on a bunch of weight, and then, so about 10 years ago, I lost 80 pounds.
Oh my God.
In about 5 months. And that first, the first 2 weeks of really buckling down on what you're eating was horrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
But once you get into that mode of...
Food is fuel.
Oh, I need to eat. I'm going to eat real quick. It doesn't matter what I eat. It does, but so I don't need to go for something, a big triple cheeseburger.
Right.
I could have, you know, a little piece of tuna, some
You can
rice,
eat something and be all
fill
right.
up and get right. energy. And then once you break that mentality,
yeah.
but it's like you're, it's like going through withdrawals.
Yeah. You know what people say that always gets me? I'll treat myself.
Yeah.
It's a prize.
Yeah.
It's so readily available. It's like treating yourself to air or sitting down. You can do it anywhere. We have food everywhere. So, but I'll treat myself to this and I'll treat myself. You give yourself an excuse to be good and it feels like you're doing something special.
And where it really gets you is, you know what? I worked out really hard earlier.
Right.
I did this. Watch what I want. I, you know, I had a good lunch. It was a salad, dressing on the side. I could, and then you just undo all that progress.
Yep. But at least you did something.
Yeah.
Like we're a glutton. I'm still a pig. I eat a lot of, I ate a Snickers bar before this started. But
you're on the supermodel diet.
I am on that supermodel diet. I like to throw up when I've eaten too much.
And or you're Dulcolax. A stockholder in the Lady Dulcolax.
The Dulcolax
company
is so great. I haven't done it for a couple of weeks, and now that you've mentioned it.
Today's the day?
I might go after it this weekend.
Because well, you were mentioning earlier, any kind of Valentine's fun weekends out the door.
We're going somewhere next weekend. And so we'll just include all this stuff together. But Valentine's Day is silly.
What about, are you going to get a... menstruation vacation room this weekend?
Well, the menstruation lasted an extra day, so we're off of it now.
Oh, okay. So
it'll
ended.
Be good for next week. Oh, okay, the vacation next week is clear, unless there's some sort of weird disease.
Uh-oh.
And it's now a weekly thing, which means divorce. It's a divorce period. I couldn't do that.
If she's bleeding on a weekly basis.
If it started in every couple days, like, look, guys, this is too hard to pick and choose. I'm out.
It'd be full divorce, or would you be like, Megan, I need you to move into the room with the dogs?
Full divorce.
You want to act like an animal, you're going to live with it.
I mean, that's right. Yeah, if you're going to bleed around like this, I can't have this around my house. I'm like a murderer. It can't do it. So I, full divorce. I think if she's like, it'll never stop, I'd be like, bye.
What about the vet, like spay her, you know?
Oh, get her scraped?
Yeah.
I would ask her if that's an option. Like, would you like to get those torn out? Oh, of course, I pay for everything. But if I tore that out, if she said, no, I'm just going to live like this, I'd be like, okay, then that's where we are parting ways. Now.
Okay, well, then I need to, folder B is with your instructions. Your bags are packed.
This is it. Your bags are packed completely.
Because, I mean, you probably had female dogs when they're, my mom's dog, before they got her spayed, like when they're in heat.
Oh, that's gross.
All over the house and they're annoying and they're whining.
Diapers on them and stuff.
Yeah. You're having to diaper up. You have to diaper up Megan in Vegas for your big trip.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take a woman who had to be in diapers anywhere. And essentially, that's all that the feminine hygiene is: little tiny acceptable diapers.
Oh, they just renamed it. Oh.
It's a gauze pad.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Oh God, let's move on to some better talk.
Yeah, you started this.
You're going for the heavyweight fight in Vegas. Yeah, you putting money on it?
I don't bet on events I go to.
Oh,
it's weird. Like, I just want it to be fun, like a good
fight.
Because
then you feel that there's something in it.
Then I can be disappointed. I can go up to this great event and leave upset. I can also win, but I can see the negative side. Is like,
yeah, it could ruin the night.
It's like,
it could be a great fight.
Right.
But if it's a great fight that's going against who you're picking, the whole night's...
Yeah, the whole trip sucks.
It's kind of like when you and Eric went back to Chicago in 2016 for Game 5 of the World Series. The one that you go to... Played like crap. It's at home. They lost.
We got shelled. Went down 3-1.
So it's almost, you almost prefer, like, I don't even want to buy tickets. I don't want to go. I mean, it's cool you were there and they ended up winning the series. So you have
I was
that memory.
Part of the 7 games, but I was in the worst Cubs performance of the entire
series.
So
wouldn't it have made you feel better if you would have just watched that game at home, didn't pay for airfare, didn't pay to go out there? And you're like, it's the loss sort of really would, it still sucked, but wouldn't it have been a little bit easier to take if you're like, not sitting there and watching them lose and you're like, God.
It did stink, but I needed to be part of the Cubs World Series just to be the atmosphere.
At least you have that ticket, yeah.
I don't.
Oh, you didn't keep it?
I sold it to a guy in the parking lot on the way out.
Good for look at you.
I'm like, I don't want to be part of this. I thought for sure the Cubs were going to lose the series the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's it.
You didn't want any memorabilia at all.
I said, I don't care about this. This is the Indians game. They won this World Series. And like $10.
Oh, that was
he bought the lanyard and the World Series ticket. I'm like, I don't even want it. Because what would I do with it? I can hang up one ticket to the game they lost as a memorabilia thing.
Or just get a cool banner from their website that says World Series Champions.
And I can buy a fake World Series ticket.
A giant one,
yeah,
even. It looks
so
cool.
That's better. Oh, the loser ticket was rough. Just to prove I was there. I know I was there.
07, first round of the playoffs.
Diamondbacks
here. We had only been here for probably 3 years. Yeah. Got tickets. They got swept in that series.
Yeah.
I went to the first game. It was horrendous. Got into a fight. So I'm walking. They had like a concession stand or like a souvenir stand that was for the divisional series. So I was like, right. I don't know when I'm going to make it back to another baseball playoff game. Right. This is kind of cool. It's my first one. So I went and bought a little pan. It had the Cubs logo, Diamondbacks, said the dates and everything in the series. And when I'm walking back, a couple of drunk Diamondbacks fans start hassling me. They're, go back to Chicago, yelling and stuff. And then, so I'm coming back and they get in front of me and the guy's like pushing me. And I'm like, dude, just back up, you know. And so I grab him, I push him up against the wall. I'm like, leave me alone, dude. And then I hear somebody say, all right, you're out of here. And I'm like, come on, dude. I spent $175 on this ticket.
Oh, man.
It wasn't for me. It was them. Security guards saw it. And they're like, you guys. And so they get on the phone. They're trying to get the cops because there's cops that are coming down. Then these two big dudes in Cubs jerseys, beer in each hand. They're like, you hassling the kid? And then they dropped their beers and then fist started
flying. Gun. Nice.
Yeah, I was like, sweet. Security guard's like, hey. I'm like, hey, dude, I have no part in this. He's like, no, go back to your seat. And then like,
you
cops
got to stay.
Are everywhere. I got to stay.
To watch the Cubs lose a series. They
I wish I would have gotten
pitching.
Beat out. That was a horrible game. And now I have a souvenir from them losing. But, oh, God, that was horrible.
Nightmare series. Ugh. But yeah, going to that stuff and losing is tough. And having money on something you really don't have a passion about either guy. You just think somebody's going to win. I think Deontay Wilder's going to win it, but
you don't care enough to.
I don't care enough to like.
I'm putting
the
mortgage on it.
I'll be betting enough in Vegas on other stuff. I'll put my money there.
Do you do sports betting?
Not a ton.
Yeah,
I bet on some basketball here and there and football now and again. But
I just think you would make me watch games I normally wouldn't watch.
I did. I watched the Clippers and Celtics last night because a friend said it was a sure thing.
Was it not?
I lost.
Was it that awful Brandon Love? Don't take
it. No,
it
was a different
him.
Guy who used to be a handicapper in Vegas, but
used to be.
He was right. Well, it's double overtime, and it was a two-point spread. So I was like,
so I was going to say, there's a reason why it's used to be. If he's giving out advice,
no,
like
he used to make a ton of money. Well, the used to be part was he fell into the world of cocaine so much he had to leave. So he was winning money and spending it all on drugs.
You going to partake in some of the white powder? Up
no,
in Vegas?
I don't like any of the candy.
That's the. Nose candy's a drug of choice up there, huh?
It's the gambler's choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a Ferrari, and he was like 24, and he's killing it.
Now he's driving a Yaris.
Making
$40,000
and $50,000 every other day.
Oh, my God.
And he said, and I was spending 20 on parties and coke at least once a week. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Coke does seem like an expensive
habit.
It's
a rich man's
drug. That's a rich white man's drug.
And he said, I got into that. And he said, I started to lose a little bit. You don't win all the time. Still spending the 20 grand on the party. I got this Ferrari I'm driving around that's way too expensive. That and he's like, I fell into a lifestyle that I couldn't keep up with. So he left. But he still bets. And he's good at it. Well, he's still how he makes his living. He doesn't have
maybe
a job.
Good for him. It wasn't good for you last night.
No, it was bad for me last night. Almost.
Did you lose a lot?
No.
You're not putting a lot on the Celtics Clippers regular season game?
25,000.
Jesus.
Nothing big.
That's what you bet or what you
lost? No. That was $500.
Oh, okay.
Good bet.
What's the most you've ever bet on something?
On one thing?
Yeah.
You know what I don't like? A bet. I put, I put 5,000 on things before to win $5,000.
Yeah.
So it's 5,000. It was like even money.
Yeah.
But you still get a $5,000 win. And then, there's stuff like that. Little things, nothing.
You're not doing like what Floyd Mayweather does, and he puts like a couple hundred thousand dollars down on
nope,
$1 million.
No, that would be, you'd never see me stop crying.
It would be
it.
A poor decision.
The $5,000 bets were almost guarantees. That's why it was even money, even less. I think I put $5,000 down to win $4,400 once. So you don't have to give him the $5,000. So it's only if you lose. So you just get a $4,400 when it was done.
Oh, okay.
And that was a Patriots game. They were playing the Dolphins or something a few years ago, which
Dolphins?
Was dangerous, and I picked the Patriots. No, that would have been huge money going the other way. I almost picked in 2010 the Peyton Hillis Browns to beat the Patriots because it was like 50-1.
Yeah.
And I was going to put five on that because I'm like, they've been running wild and the Patriots can't stop the run. The Browns end up winning that thing flat out. Didn't even need the points. A straight bet would have been huge. And I think the payoff would have been like $35,000.
Why didn't you go?
The line was too long.
Oh.
I was like, there's like 20 people in line. I don't have time for this. I have a flight to catch at noon. It was Sunday morning. Like, I'm not
doing it. And you're like, so you're coming back from Vegas for a weekend. You're tired, hungover.
Yeah. I'd won a ton that weekend. So I was like, maybe I'll go do this. It would have been a great win. Great win.
But yeah, because betting's not your style. You're a slots guy.
I like slots. I don't mind betting. I just don't like I don't like waiting that long for the result.
I just don't. I think it just puts pressure on me to watch something or have more passion in it than I really do. And I just
it
don't
does
care.
Make the game fun, though. That Clippers-Celtics game was a lot more fun because it was double overtime. It was fun. They're hitting shots. It felt like a playoff game because you had something
what
on it.
Fantasy sports does, and you're a big anti-fantasy sports guy.
Well, no, because then you're rooting for against your own team a lot of times.
Yeah, see, I can't.
I would never play. I'd never put money on a game that my teams are in.
I hate the teams that I hate so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, if I'm doing fantasy football, I don't want Aaron Rodgers.
No, you can't
draft
guys
in your thing.
It's a smart bet
fantasy-wise because he's a good statistical quarterback.
Yeah.
But I hate him, and I don't like him.
And then you have to root for him.
Exactly. No, I would never
especially
do
in
that.
Games like, that's crap. Bears look like garbage today. Now I got Aaron Rodgers.
I need him to light up.
I need
up,
him
yeah.
to light up because I, yeah. It's just,
or when you're bargaining, you're like, all right, the Bears could give up a lot of points, but they just need, I want the Bears to win,
right.
But hey, give up a lot of points. I don't have the Bears defense, you know,
no
that
fun.
Kind of stuff. I ain't got time
no,
for that.
No, I don't do that.
And I don't
had
like
fantasy
the teams.
Football once, and I picked all the Steelers, and it was the last time the Steelers didn't have a winning season. It was 2003. They were 6-10. And it's the last time I'm ever playing this game.
Do you think it was your fault for picking all?
I don't know. But I had a load of Steelers. You know, it was terrible. Just terrible.
Who? 2003?
Yeah.
Was Ben there?
No, Ben was there the next year. I think we still had Tommy Maddox. And
was the bus there?
Bussy was there. But it was just a mess. They got beat by everybody badly. And they were.
And then fantasy baseball's every day.
Every day. That's too much work.
Every day.
For the payoff. I better be in a fantasy baseball league that pays six figures in the end.
Yeah.
Because it is a job.
Yeah.
And I'm not. And the guys who take it seriously take it. They're trading every day. And I'm like, I don't have time for this.
They're digging into stats.
Yeah, I'm not
they're,
doing that.
I mean, that's.
Let them win the $500. Oh, it's $2,500. I'm like, it's 6 months. It's terrible. What you guys are doing is
that's
less
basically
than
like, would you accept $2,500 for the next 6 months of work you're going to put in here?
No.
Exactly. That's what you're doing
That's $5,000 a year.
Wow.
And that's if you win.
Which I don't know. That's pretty good.
That's pretty
of money
good for
year,
you.
But
that would double your income.
It would.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's fantasy football's not bad. It's once a week.
Yeah, that one's not as bad.
But then you get into there's fantasy golf.
Nope.
There's fantasy NASCAR.
Nope. Fantasy NASCAR, I don't understand.
You pick. It's kind of like.
Yeah, but I don't understand how NASCAR does a point system. So I don't even want to know about fantasy NASCAR. That's crazy.
I don't know.
You
they
pick
just
winners,
race in
you
a circle. I have no
things.
Idea.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, the fantasy world gets interesting. I just can't be part of it in the sports I like. I tried it with baseball, too, and I'm like, these guys are too into it. I just let the computer run it, and then I gave it to a friend. Like, you can have my team. And he ran it pretty good, but.
I won 2 years ago. My wife's work had a fantasy league, and she signed up, but she's never done fantasy football. She had no, so
right.
She just had me run it in her name, and I found out the day after the draft, it auto-picked. I went in, and I made some trades,
right.
and I realized these guys weren't paying attention,
right.
And I ran the table. And they're like, they were asking my wife, how do you know so much about football?
She's
like, I watch a lot.
That's great. What was the payoff?
$250 bucks.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Nah, it's terrible.
And she got a day paid off work.
Huh?
I didn't get to take advantage of that.
So $300 bucks.
No, $255.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hours to work.
All right, well, happy Valentine's weekend,
thank
Johnny.
You.
Thank
Have
you.
A great time with your Valentine.
Who's your Valentine? That'll do it for this week's episode, guys. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast. Make sure you rate and review wherever it is that you downloaded this podcast. And tune in to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Monday through Friday, 5:45 to 10 a.m. or so on the Big Red Radio, 98 KUPD.